Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of The Insightful Journey, a podcast all about tarot, spirituality, and whatever else the two of us start talking about. My name is Charlie, I'm one of the hosts, and my other host is...
Hi, this is Jameson.
Just going to give you guys a brief introduction here. Jameson, go ahead, go first, tell everybody about your history with things, and then I'll jump in with mine, and we'll take it from there.
Well, good evening or good day, everybody. My name is Jameson. I've been doing tarot readings for, I think, 27 years was the last I checked in my math. And spirituality has been a huge part of my life since I was young, and was very lucky to have a very supporting family and a father that was open to letting me figure out my own path. And I can't even, that's a long story to tell right there by itself. But let's let Charlie give his introduction.
All right. So again, I am Charlie Krzyzewski. Good Polish last name there, but some of you guys know me from social medias. Been reading tarot probably for about 10 years now. It's really been a lifelong obsession of mine, but about 10 years ago, I finally sat down and started to seriously learn tarot and do things, and it's just an amazing journey that I've been on. I'm happy to share all of that with you guys here on this podcast, and excited to see wherever this production takes us.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You want me to go first or you to go first on our journey, our background, kind of go deeper into...
You go ahead and go first. My notes just disappeared on me.
Okay. All right. No problem. So basically, like I said, my name is Charlie. I've been interested in the tarot for a long, long time. I remember some of my first... introductions of it, just seeing, in different movies or whatever, people doing, like, tarot cards. And, of course, I know now that was all Hollywood, so whatever. But it always intrigued me. I was like, wow, there's this way you could, like, know the future. You can know all these things. You know, all this unseen knowledge can come to you. So I was, like, super excited. Finally, like, found a place to get a tarot deck. Of course, this is back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, so it's not as mainstream as it was. It wasn't as mainstream then as it is today. And so I got a deck, the Rider-Waite-Smith, that classic deck, everything. Opened it up, so excited, and I started looking at the cards, and I was just like, oh, my God. I mean, my gut reaction was like, ugh, there is so much yellow in this deck. Ugh, I can't even. Which was hilarious, because I'm like, all right. And then I was like, oh, cool, I'll just shuffle the cards and it'll tell me things. And I shuffle the cards, and I'm like, well, what does this mean? And, there's a little white book, the little pamphlet that comes in every deck. And so I start looking, and I was like, oh, dang, I got to memorize all this. Wait a minute, there's all these cards. I was like, oh, okay, this is wrong. So I just kind of shoved it all to the side for a while. And then, just every so often through the years, I'd be like, oh, and try and go back. And I was like, oh, man, you got to do this, got to do that. Now that the internet's out, you can do more research, and then you get all these rules. Like your first deck has to be gifted to you, or she'll never be able to read tarot. that's hilarious. I mean, if you're waiting for your first deck to be gifted to you, you'll never start. Then I heard things like, once you get it, you have to put it under your pillow and sleep with it under your pillow for 3 days, or you'll never connect to the deck. And just rule after rule. It was just like, I'm like, okay. I ain't got time for all this stuff. There's way more things I could do with my life.
Isn't it so interesting, the weird rules that you learned when you're first looking at it that intimidate you until you finally realize that, like, oh, those are just things people say. They're not necessarily the truth or the exact thing you have to do.
Exactly. It's so funny. We were up in Sacramento going around, just going through the shop, and it's a little gift shop. They have, all kinds of little funny, jokey things, t-shirts and all this stuff. I come around the corner, and there's like this whole shelf. It's got like four or five different tarot decks on it, a couple books, and there's this one book that like almost jumped out at me. It said Kitchen Table Tarot. I was like, okay, that's interesting. Picked it up, flipped it over. It's all like, sit down at the table. We're going to deal the cards. I'm going to go through the myths that you don't have to follow. And I'm just going to break it down like we're having a conversation at the kitchen table, and you're going to learn tarot. I was like, sold, bought that. At the time, the Wild Unknown deck had just kind of come out. And I was seeing it everywhere, and they just happened to have a version of that deck, or actually that deck, right there. So I bought the Wild Unknown deck, that book, and that started my whole journey into tarot. That's when that's the push that got me past all these quote-unquote rules, all these things you have to do, that actually got me to sit down and start learning card meanings and actually doing readings for people. So that's kind of a bigger background on mine. You know, as we go on with this, I can tell you more and more of how my journey has grown, but that's a good background for me.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. My background can be very in-depth, and I could probably go on for hours on it, but I have to start with a certain person that helped me feel comfortable enough to look into things that most people wouldn't. My father was raised in an extremely, like, Irish Catholic, strict household. You have to go to church every Sunday. You need to constantly be focused on God. And as a young man, the first thing I noticed about my dad was every day in the morning, he'd wake up, have coffee, and he'd go and meditate. And I'm a very loud and rambunctious person, so I had to learn to, oh, he's doing meditation, I actually have to be quiet. And I remember, like, he had, like, 200 houseplants, and he would be sitting meditating the very few times I was actually in the room with him, because I learned that I'm not very good at sitting still when somebody else is trying to have peace. And the first time I remember him meditating, I was sitting amongst his 200 houseplants with, like, a couple of toys in the dirt of the plants, and just, like, watching him as he looked so peaceful and, like, so calm. And I remember, like, looking at him and studying him, and he looks over and he's like, smiles, and then it, like, puts a finger up to keep me quiet. And as the years go by, I started to realize, like, why he did that. He worked in, like, he was an electronic engineer that worked for PageNet, which most people nowadays don't even know what a pager is. And very business atmosphere, and there was a lot of stress behind that job. But every morning he'd meditate, and as soon as he got home from work, he would spend another half hour meditating. And what I started to notice is my dad never gets mad. My dad never yelled at me. He never came home and was angry and frustrated. And I was like, oh, that's weird, because I get angry and frustrated all the time. How does he do this?
Yeah, that's an amazing skill right there.
And then as I, like, spend time getting to know my father, I realized that him and I he was exactly like me as a kid. Rambunctious, hyper, loved to get into things. And as time went on and he thought on what he really wanted from life, he started to look towards finding inner peace. And that, he realized real quick, was probably not going to happen very easily in a strict Irish Catholic like process. And so he started studying. And the thing that's neat about this is that when I finally started wondering, like, oh, what are my beliefs? Like, do I believe in God? Like, I went to church with my grandparents now and then, and personally found it quite boring sitting in this place while people hum weird songs, and all I could do as a kid was sit there because I hadn't been baptized, so I sat and read the Bible and waited for it to be over. And I didn't think that was the right thing for me, but I knew that if I talked to my dad, he'd help me figure it out. So I asked my dad, I'm like, hey, I'm interested in this stuff, but I don't know, like, where I should start or what I should believe. And he's like, hold on. And he goes up, and at this time, we had a huge library in our attic. Our whole entire attic was wall-to-wall books. Mm-hmm. And it's like my dream to have that big library with the ladder that slides across the wall.
You should meet my husband.
I can't wait. That'll be so fun. And he comes down with the biggest stack of books, and I'm like, oh, Lordy, and sets them down. And amongst all these books, we had every single religious book, religious view, spiritual thought, spiritual view, we're talking from like the Bhagavad Gita to the King James Bible, like all this material. And he was like, the best thing you can do to find your way and to find your beliefs is to look at all the beliefs around the world and see, because they're all right and they're all wrong. Not like wrong as in it's not right to do this, but like, you know, nothing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But the journey itself is perfect. And I always thought that was interesting, because he didn't go, oh, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. No, he read every single book and took what called to him. And we've found that, like, there was lessons in every book, and that each one has good lessons, and those are what you should take from them. So, like, what is it called? A religious doctrine was never, like, a part of my world, and I didn't have to do that. It was do what felt right to me. And so, eventually, my spiritual beliefs became a hodgepodge, and it is like a mountain with one peak, and there's hundreds of little paths that all lead to that peak. And, you know, not every path actually goes up to the peak. Some paths wind up and then wind right back down and out.
Yeah.
So there's not always, not everything is the right way,
but
there are more ways than one.
I'm going to jump in right here, because it's fascinating that you said that about the mountain, because that's exactly the way I see it. Is that, you know, the peak of the mountain is the destination. All these different things want to get there. And, you know, the base of the mountain is super huge, so there can be thousands of different beliefs and different ways and different paths, and only some of the paths actually get there. That's so cool that we share that.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember the first time I brought that up to my dad, I was like, I was so determined that this is the right way. I'm like, this is right. And he's like, well, it's not perfectly right. Because when I first told him about it, he was like, I told him, you know, all these different paths all lead to the peak. And he was like, but how do you know they all lead to that peak? And like, he was willing to question that thought, like, hey, not every path will get up there, right? Because
mm-hmm.
there's definitely wrong ways to do things.
That is true. Very true.
And in the, like, the ability to not fear asking questions, I think we find more wisdom from each other. It's like, we don't want to fight about those questions, but the discussion of those questions shouldn't be taboo.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so that's really where I found my way into my spiritual thoughts. And it wasn't actually until about, oh gosh, now it's been like 6-7 years. So like 7 years ago, I finally had what my friends and I have come to think of as like my spiritual awakening. I had a moment, and I would have to say a divine moment, because it freaked me out so bad, Charlie, that I literally, because I was with my friends at their house when this happened, and imagine a moment where the freaking clouds part, lights shine down, and four beings decide to sit down in your friends' bodies. What would your thought be?
Wow, okay. I was like, what was in that drink? Or did I take that pill?
That was exactly my thought.
Did I take the wrong pill? Because, whoa.
My first thought was, have I been drugged?
Yeah.
That was literally like my first thought. I'm like, I'm blown away. But at the time, that thought of have I been drugged didn't happen at that time. It happened after the experience, because this was so, it wasn't like you taking mushrooms or something and you feel the trip coming on or whatever it is. It was 1 minute I'm sitting there watching a movie with my friends, and the next moment these four, only description I can give them is really angels, are talking to me from the bodies of my friends who were sitting next to me at the table.
Wow.
And I was so blown away at this time. Like, first off, it wasn't like a, am I talking to angels? No, it was like, holy shit, I'm talking to fucking angels. There was no, like, I knew what I was experiencing at that time, at least to me, was real. And that was scary and amazing and intense all at once. And these angels or beings, they proceeded to tell me about, like, hey, you're punishing yourself. You need to stop that. Because you don't deserve that to be feeling like you deserve to be punished. Like, I was going through a lot of grief over my father's death. And, like, this subliminal, almost like, I didn't do enough. Or, you know, when grief is a strange thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And they were like, that is not your fault. Stop blaming yourself. And that you are a powerful being, and if you want, right now, if you're done here, you can leave. You can leave, you can come with us, and we can go create universes, planets, life, whatever you want to do. The universe is literally a piece that you can play with. And then they proceeded to take me into the universe where I created a whole system, and, like, Charlie, I literally, afterwards, was like, I think my friends fed me acid or something, because I don't understand how that just happened.
Yeah, that's crazy. Very crazy. I'd be doubting everything.
There's a lot. Yeah. And there was a lot to, like, unpack in that whole experience that, like, I guess while I was there, a lot of this, I guess, was going on in my head, because I called my friend the next day and I'm like, okay, you tell me what happened. What did you see? Like, and he's like, what do you mean, what did I see? I'm like, was I just sitting there? He's like, dude, you were doing the same thing you do all the time. You were sitting there watching the movie with us. And, like, how is that happening? Well, in my head, I was having conversations with fucking angels or something.
Wow.
And I was seriously worried about my mental health, if I had a stroke. I talked to my friend and I legitimately asked him, like, hey, you didn't put anything into my drink or give me anything in the weed, like, you know. He's like, I would never do that to you.
Well, at least you got trustworthy friends, so that's good, but experience like that, I'd be in the same boat. I'd be like, what happened?
Oh, it was the couple days afterwards were filled with a lot of, like, I would hate to say this, but it was, like, fear, because I had no clue what had happened, and it was so real and so vivid, and there were so many things explained to me that literally, like, so after this, the experience, suddenly my beliefs were set. Like, I just had this innate no, like, and I mean, like, knowing, not like, oh no. And then I had to deal with, first off, what happened. So I called my friend, I asked, did you drug me? You tell me what happened on your end. He's like, you were sitting there and then you got up and you're like, I'm exhausted, and said good night and left.
Okay.
I went home and went to sleep, because I was, like, very, like, I remember the last part being, I was very exhausted. Like, when everything ended, I was so tired, and I'm like, I need to go home, I need to lay down, and, like, I was still processing the whole experience.
Yeah.
And the next day, I go to the hospital and get my brain checked.
Oh, good move. Good move. I was going to ask, did you go? Did you at least follow up with a doctor to see what's happening?
I sure did, because I'm at least knowledgeable enough that an experience like that could also mean that I just had a stroke.
True. Very much.
And everything came back fine. There was no signs that I had a stroke. None of this. So the only other thing I can think of is maybe I had too many drugs when I was younger. But I, at that, like, I think it was the next day, I had a friend who was very, very spiritual. And we knew each other, but we hadn't, like, connected on, like, a wavelength where we chit-chatted and were, like, good friends. And I suddenly knew I needed to talk to him. And I call my friend Casey. One day we're going to definitely have him on here. He's also the one that trained me in the Paco Kune tradition for me to become a shaman.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
And we immediately knew we were talking to the right people. And he was telling me about, like, spiritual awakenings. He's like, it sounds like this is exactly what happened. And he's, like, telling me other experiences people have had. And I was like, wow, that makes a little bit of sense to me. And so it really was, like, a changing point in my life that really, really, that's the moment where I realized I needed to be doing this. I needed to share healing and good energy with the world and help other people find that spot in life where they are now comfortable, that they know what's like their beliefs are. And that's when I started taking the steps towards becoming a shaman and really taking reading seriously.
Wow.
I know that was a lot to unpack, and I apologize for the extremely long book that I just wrote verbally.
No, it's good. It's good because, thank you for sharing all that. It's good to have that background information. My journey, really took off once I started reading for people when I sat down. And it's crazy, because I was like, I knew this was something that I wanted to do. First readings I ever did, I wasn't prepared. I didn't understand that the energy that can come through in a reading. I wasn't grounded. I wasn't shielded. I did nothing. I was like, oh, this will be fun. I'm going to deal some cards. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to be a tarot reader. I'm going to make millions of dollars. Okay, number one, still haven't made millions of dollars, but hey, I'm getting there. But number two, dude, it is serious. I mean, read for this lady, beautiful lady that I'd met. And just when I laid out the cards, I do a Celtic cross spread. Basically, that's my go-to spread. And in the present position, it's always the top card on the thing. Anyway, I can do diagrams later. But anyway, Queen of Swords came out. At the time, I had no idea what any of the cards were. All I knew is that that card bothered me. There was like something coming from that card. I was like, oh, I don't know. So we're going through the reading, each card, I'm looking it up and kind of telling her what the cards mean, kind of building the story. And as I get to that card, I'm like, I don't want to read it. I don't want to know. And she looked at me and she goes, it's fine. She goes, tell me. She goes, I've lived my life. I've lived through this, obviously. Tell me what it means. And just that grace that she gave me actually got me to keep going. I think it was just that early experience got me to keep moving and doing it, which was awesome, awesome. But then I learned very, very seriously. It's like, okay, I need to either shield ground. I need some kind of ritual, some kind of thing that I do before readings because these are really serious. This is an amazing thing. I do have a gift where I connect with people just through their cards. So it's I learned that early on. For about the first year that I did readings, I had my book right by my side. I'd look up almost every card. After a while, you get used to what a card means, and if it keeps coming up during the day, you kind of, learn that card. So
yeah,
it was an interesting thing, and I was always like, oh my God, but I always felt that imposter syndrome kind of thing. It's like, no one's going to take me serious. I would worry sometimes, like, I went to one event and did readings, and I had this, like, nervous energy about me because it was like, I was always afraid the person who sat down for a reading, like, knew how to read tarot cards, would know what the meanings were, would call me out, would tell me I'm a liar, or, just really, I could just see all the horrible things happening instead of good things happening. And
right, right.
As it turned out, the next event was actually up in Virginia City, and Patty Negri was there. Some people know her. She's the White Witch, the Good Witch. She's on, like, every paranormal program you can think of. I met her then, and she was just a wonderful woman, a good friend of mine. And the other special guest at that Paracon was Richard Leo Lillard. The only...
I love that man.
Yeah. The only background I had on him before that was his one of appearance on Ghost Adventures. And he was playing this whole, like, devil worshipper, like, evil character guy. And he played it to freak Zach and them out, and I just died because I was like, oh my God, I met the man in person. He is nothing like that character. He is totally different. He is the most kindest, warm-hearted human being I have ever met in my life. I do consider him a good friend of mine. And so we were sitting there, and we were talking the night before and the next day, the event. You know, he was all like, hey, you want trade readings? I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, okay, I sat down, let him read for me first, because I was like, ooh, this is cool. Someone who really knows how to do it, he's going to give me a read. His reading was amazing. He was like, okay, your turn. And I was like, He was like, well, you stop being nervous. He goes, you're a reader. You can do this. You know you can. Believe in yourself. You got it. And so I'm like, okay, you know, had him shuffle the cards, laid it out, went through the reading. He was like, okay, two notes. Believe what you're saying, because trust me, you had all the messages right. Believe it. And number two, yeah, just do it. Just do it. Stop worrying about all this stuff. And I was like, well, you know, I figured you would know. He goes, but I'm not the one reading the cards. You're the one reading the cards. You tell me what they mean. Even if I know what they mean, you're the one doing the reading. And that kind of stuff just stuck with me. It was amazing.
That's great. That's great. And it's great advice, too. I found, like, the hardest, like, a similar thought process of, like, the imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be, like, somebody would be talking about something. I'm like, but, or ask a question that, and it's not that I am a skeptic, because I'm open, but I'm always skeptical.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was the biggest step I had to learn to accept when I was doing readings, because I always thought I felt like a fake, because I was open to doing readings, and I was doing readings, and I was having great results with them, but then I also had that part of me of questioning, like, what if I'm just talking off the top of my head? Mm-hmm. What if I'm making this up as I go?
Exactly, exactly. And I know that so well.
One of my best, right, and it's a really hard thing to think about. And the best lesson I ever got was from my teacher when I was becoming a shaman, who literally told me the best thing about spirit is to play.
Oh.
And I'm like, play? And he's like, yeah, your imagination is a part of your spiritual. You're allowed to use your imagination. You're allowed to be skeptical. You're allowed to ask questions. Accept that about yourself and still trust in it.
Oh, wow. That is like a very, very interesting way to look at it, that you're allowed to play with spirit. You're allowed to just explore and enjoy and figure it out. That is awesome.
And also, it's like it helps you to realize that that play can also be your own mind playing. Like, you're asking questions. You may be using your imagination, but it's not wrong to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That is, wow. That's like, boom, okay, something new in my head. That's awesome. Love it. Okay, for whatever reason, I'm sure it's my guides who just had to pop in on this. It's like spirit guides. And so I'm gonna tell you a little bit about my wonderful spirit guides, so I'll ask you about yours. But yeah, so I have three guides. They answer to the name George, which makes it really nice. A good friend of mine who is a psychic, you know, she looked at it because, you know, when I was first hearing about it, I'm like, yeah, I probably have a guide or something. I don't know. And she was all like, oh, honey, you have. And then she looks and she goes, you have three. I'm like, okay, that's weird, because it always feels like one, you know, I don't feel like they're surrounding me. It just feels like it's one entity. And she goes, they're three, but they act as one. She goes, you know, like Greek mythology, you remember the old ladies, the crone, they have the eyeball.
Yeah.
And they all have to, you know, they can't really see anything unless they have the eye. That's kind of my guides. So, you know, when I was figuring all that stuff out, I'm like, okay, you know, oh, let me ask them their names. Let me figure out so I can, you know, talk to them and do all that, you know, figure out. I was so excited. I still get excited. Anyway, so I asked, you know, what's your name? And they're like, George. I was like, okay, cool. One's George. Wrote that down. Okay, next one, your name, George. I'm like, okay, thanks. Third one, and it came through as a female voice saying, George. I was like, so you're all George? And they're like, yep, we're all George. I was like, how am I going to tell you apart? And they're like, you'll know. I was like, you? Okay. I'm like, I'm the kind of funny, sarcastic guy anyway. Of course my guides are going to be that way. I was like, oh, lucky me, lucky me. So, Anyway, when I'm doing readings and stuff, sometimes they jump in. So, like, I will get tongue-tied trying to tell meanings of cards and doing stuff because they keep chattering over me. And like, tell them this, tell them this, tell them this. I'm like, well, yeah, shut up so I can speak. It's just so funny with my guides. Anyway, so that's just kind of that's a quick with my guides. I don't know why it popped in, but I think George wanted some airtime too, so.
No problem. I always find our guides are so interesting. So interesting. Like, and that was like when I was talking about the worried about my imagination, what I was talking about was learning to see and talk to my spirit guides. Like, you're sitting there connecting to your spirit guides, and part of my brain's like, am I just a crazy that's like making up another person that talk to? And then my friend telling me that, so what if it is, really, really helped me to find that with my spirit guides.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was able to accept that.
You may be crazy, you may not.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I agree with spirit guides, because it's like, okay, is this just my imaginary friend, or is it really spirit guides? And
Right.
I remember another friend of mine who, you know, she's psychic, and, you know, Billy's one of the people who kind of helped mentor me and train me. And, you know, we kind of got around to this, talking about spirit guides, and she goes, okay, you know all those people who say that, you know, they meet their spirit guides? It's like, oh my God, it's this Mayan warrior from 18, or like 1000 AD or whatever, or this person. It's like, bullshit. I'm like, what do you mean bullshit? She goes, bullshit. She goes, I got my guides. I've never seen them. I've never talked to them. I can't even tell you what they look like. She goes, I've never met them. All these people are lying, so just forget about it. I was like, well, some of them are probably telling the truth. She goes, I don't care. I don't believe it. So, bleh, they're just lying to make themselves popular. I was like, okay, so. And that kind of, like, cracked it for me to go, okay, so whether it's my imaginary friend or these are real people, who cares? You know, if I haven't, like, actually met them and can describe, you know, every feature of them and so on and so forth, it doesn't matter. They're still there. It's still,
right.
It's still valid.
Yeah.
You know, some people can tell you all of this stuff, and other people, it's like me, it's like, yeah, they just hang out on my right-hand side and yak in my right hand, in my right ear when I'm doing readings. You know, it's all the same. It's all valid.
Yeah, yeah, and it's sharing those experiences, people will take what they need from you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, learning that... Maybe it's your guide giving them the info. Maybe it's you giving the info. And, like I found that with your true guides, like, the ones that are real, and sometimes, you know, they might not be real. You might have just intuition that you accept as that's your guide, or it is your guide, is when they start telling you things you don't know.
Yes.
Like, I think when I was first trying to accept that I was talking to spirit guides, and my friend was like, oh, there'll be times of affirmation, and those are going to be those moments when you realize you're actually talking to your guides. And I was very curious about that. And then one morning I woke up and I was doing my ritual of, like, getting centered, clearing my head, relaxing, my breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Really letting go of the heavy energy to Mother Earth so that she could give me light energy so I could feel more myself again. And I suddenly feel one of my guides is an old man. He's never actually told me his name, but I'm pretty sure it's Odin.
Okay.
And I think he likes that I don't 100% know it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, as I'm getting ready for work, to stop getting ready for work, work is going to be canceled today. And I'm like, I still got to go to work. I haven't gotten a phone call, blah, blah, blah. So I get all my clothes on, I get in the car, and I get a phone call from my boss. Work is shut down for today, something like, I forget exactly what it was, but we weren't working that day. And I just remember going, that was interesting.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm like, and it was at the perfect time. It was like day or two or three when I was thinking about, like, this, how will I know if it's an affirmation, or how, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, I saw 11:11 100 times today. Do I know what that means? Not a clue.
11:11, make a wish. That's what you do.
Right. Oh my gosh, that is literally something I say every time I see 11:11.
Yep, I do too. It's crazy. For me, it's just like suddenly I know things. You know, there's all the clairs, and we'll probably do an episode on them. But you know, to me, it's like you know shit. That's how I do it. And mm-hmm. I don't know what claircognizance or whatever, but I say I just know shit. And it's like I'll meet somebody or we're doing a reading and just stuff is there. And I just let it flow through. I let the message out and I watch the person and you can see it connect to them. And it's just like, whoa, okay. And you know, the more often that happens, the more you believe in yourself and you just trust the message. You trust the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. There's
you find a little bit more of yourself every time you do a reading.
Yes. Yes, that is true. And the amazing thing is the more readings you do, you find yourself growing through your readings. You know, because the readings I did that first year using the book to the readings I do now, completely different experiences. You know, I'm more confident in it, for one, so I can deliver the messages. They were still good readings back then. I was still on the right path. It's just how I've grown and my interpretations of the cards. And even those change through the years and times, and even in readings, meanings of cards can change. It's so crazy. So I call myself, you know, I'm like super intuitive on things, I've learned to trust that, you know, when that comes in, it's like, okay, you know, say it, deliver the message. It's so cool.
Heck yeah.
Okay. Dang, we're doing good. Doing so good. Okay, we should probably wrap it up because, I mean, there's like a million more things I could talk about, but let's...
Oh, I know. We could go on for hours.
I'm like, okay, let's not make the first podcast like 14 hours because, you know...
Yeah, no. I was definitely thinking the same thing because, like, one of the things when I was thinking about the podcast is like, oh, we don't want them to be hours and hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, don't be afraid to, like... Like, maybe we'll need, like, a signal word or something, because sometimes I'll go on and on, and, like, I don't mean to jump onto a tangent.
Yeah.
And I do have to work on, I'm not trying to interrupt if I do. It's just, I get excited. Uh-huh. I'm like, ooh,
yeah,
I gotta
jump
tell
in.
You, blah, blah.
Yeah, I know. I know, there was a couple times you were going, I was like, ooh, and I was like, okay, let him finish his thought, and then we can jump in.
Right.
Okay, so this is cool. All right, let's go about another 5-10 minutes, kind of wrap it up. Do you want to like pull? Do you have a deck? Do you want to pull some cards?
That's ironic. I was literally holding my deck and shuffling it as we spoke. It's okay. Like that. I almost lost my phone again.
Okay, see, I was obviously picking up on that. It is so awesome.
That's so straight on. And oh my gosh, Charlie, this deck, it's so beautiful.
Oh, I'm so glad you love it. I'm so glad. Yeah, when I saw you posting about it, I knew the situation you were in. I was like, he's not going to be able to get that deck. I was like, you know what? It's Christmas. I actually have a little bit. So I was like, the least I can do is gift you that deck. And so I did.
It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And literally, like, it came out at the perfect time, and literally the moment I looked at these, I was like, ooh.
Oh, yes. Watch out, because that ooh feeling can go on. How do you think I got over 80 decks at this point?
I know. I want to see this collection.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'll have to put it up. It's nuts. Okay.
You're going to have to make a list and, like...
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, it'll take you forever. That's so funny.
It's just sitting down to actually doing it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's get on track here.
So while shuffling, the guides decided that they wanted to throw out the first two cards.
Go for it.
Which is funny. I have for us today the Knight of Pentacles, the Three of Wands, and the Four of Cups.
Ooh.
Very, very interesting. I always love when, like, I know I'm a good shuffler, and I always find it funny when cards just jump.
Mm-hmm. Jump out.
And it's like, oh, okay, so you really think that this is what we should be talking about, I guess.
Yeah. I always say if the car jumps out, that's the message that needs to be given. So, you know, I always include those no matter what I'm doing. Go ahead. Go through your cards. Tell us what the energy is. I'm going to shuffle while you're doing that. I'll try and be quiet, and then I'll pull some cards, and we'll see what goes on. So give us a rundown.
I always found that, like, especially the Knight of Pentacles is really talking about patience and the need to watch things grow from, like, from the ground up, and really, like, grounding yourself.
Oh, man, don't tell me. Don't drop out. Pay attention to your phone. Three, okay. Two, one.
So, on our first card that I have pulled, and the first two cards were dropped by the guides, and I have the Knight of Pentacles. And now, the Knight of Pentacles I've always seen as patience. And, like, taking your time to get grounded, to really, like, look at the whole process from, like, the ground up. You have in the imagery, the plant is well grown, its bulbs are strong, you can see in the flowers the life process. You have, like, death, birth, and full bloom. And I really think that this card represents patience and grounding, like, really taking time to think. The Three of Wands, I absolutely love, like, the animals and the plants in these. You have, like, an expansion of growth. You see the hawk standing on top of the Three Wands and looking out as the plants are growing abundantly. And you really have this feeling of, especially, like, with a hawk, they have the best eyesight in the world. So it's really about focus and, like, so that you don't let the growth overgrow.
All right.
And then I have the Four of Cups. And the Four of Cups is about, like, really spending time to stay clear. You have the two cups standing on the edge of the water, and you can see the images clearly above. And then in the water, it's very, very hazy, and the images are hard to see because of all of the motion going on under the water. So it's about, like, really not letting the ripples blind you from what you're seeing. So really meditate and take introspection on what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Well, that's really good. Really good energies there. So, yeah, be patient. Look to the future and don't get caught up in, like, what's directly in front of you. You know, expand that.
Yeah,
expand
that.
Really like that. Okay, so as you were doing all that, I was shuffling. Funnily enough, two cards also hopped out as I was shuffling. I've laid them out in front of me face down, so I don't know what they are until I turn them over. Sometimes I do readings like this because I'm like, until I turn it over, it could be any one of the 78 cards. So to me, the universe is always in flux. I kind of love doing readings this way sometimes. So let's see what we got. Oh, I thought we would... I was like, if I have the Page of Pentacles in here, I'm going to... Or the Knight of Pentacles, I was just going to, like, scream and walk away. But but what I got, of the two that jumped, I got the good old, Seven of Wands. So, you know, Seven of Wands, stand your ground. You can, you know, you can hold your own. You can protect what is yours. You know, you are that person. And the Wild Unknown deck, it's just wands, and then there's one in the middle that actually has a flame on the top, so it's like lighting the way. It's like, boom, you are that guide, you are the beacon, you are that person. So I really love that. The next card, one of my favorite cards ever. I know I shouldn't say that, because, like, most of my cards are... I get weird like that sometimes. And what do we have? The Seven of Cups. Yes, Seven of Cups. Love this card because it's, for me, it's decision time. You know, Seven of Wands, you're standing your ground, you're protecting what's yours. Seven of Cups, decision time. there's many choices out there. You can choose whatever you like. There's always a catch on this card for me. It has to be the thing that you want to choose. Not that you think somebody else wants you to do, or if I choose this, it'll make my family better, or if I choose this, it'll make that person happy, or da-da-da. No, choose the thing that's going to make you happy. That's my trick with the seven. Two sevens, love that energy. So you got that little kind of like universe, you know, rolling the dice, having fun. And then we ended up with the Ace of Swords. So new thoughts, new ideas. When you make this choice, this decision, this thing that's going to make you happy, it's going to launch so many new stuff, new thoughts, new ideas in your head. Follow it out. Go look and see. You know, make that choice and then follow up with it. Don't just go, oh, cool, I got that, and then, you know, throw it, you know, in the junk drawer and never look at it.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is going to launch something, so go for it. And I think that's really good energy because this is our first podcast and we're going to launch something and it's going to grow.
Definitely. And I really get the vibe from your reading of you're going to do fine. Just follow the follow through.
Yeah.
Follow up with the follow through.
Yeah, exactly. Do the follow through. You know, let's say, okay, you've made these steps. Now keep going. That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we're going to get this podcast out. We have a website that's going to be in the works. You and I are working on that right now, and once we get that together, we'll be able to launch that. I'm so excited.
So we got our Facebook page up. I love that we can connect to so many people, and also you and I have already got a great base of supportive people and that are psychics, mediums in the paranormal community that I really can't wait till we can get some of them on for conversations, because I really think we're going to hear and talk to a lot of wonderful people as this goes.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be crazy. I have a friend who actually lives in Las Vegas. She's a dear, dear friend of mine, and actually last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was. Anyway, we went out to Vegas for a week, and I just messaged her, and she was like, oh, cool. We went out to lunch. You know, I love her husband. She loves B, you know, Kyle, her husband. Anyway, we're a big, happy family. And she was like, here. And she hands me a tarot deck. She goes, I haven't used this one in a while. Start using it. So I told her about the podcast. She was like, oh, my God, I want to be on it. She goes, I wanted to start my own, but that's too much work. I'm like, okay, cool. So you can be a guest. So, yeah, this is going to be amazing where it goes. We have a basic idea, but we're not constricted by it. We're going to let this thing kind of flow and grow, the way we like it. So the Facebook page is The Insightful Journey on Facebook. We have an email address, theinsightfuljourneyjc@gmail.com, if you want to email us directly. Obviously, wherever you get this podcast, like it, share it, give us a great review, or whatever your feedback is.
We're always here to listen to advice, and if somebody needs a reading or needs help or insight, they can contact us. There's many ways.
Yes, exactly. Obviously, we're trying to make a living out of doing this as well. So, yes, we do charge. But if someone is truly in need for a reading, we can always work out a reading. You know, we can offer whatever is needed. You know, it's not like, oh, you can't pay me, so I don't want to talk to you. No, I'm not that kind of
right,
person.
Right.
If it's a person in need, obviously, we'll take care of it. Just like paranormal, because I'm also a paranormal investigator. My husband and I do that. If ever there's like a home case, we never charge to investigate a home. We never charge any of that, because those are people in need. And if you charge for that, you're just an asshole in my book.
Yeah, that makes me sad.
Exactly.
Because you know people that are asking for help are genuinely scared about something.
Yeah. I mean, there's something going on they don't understand, and they are terrified. So, you know, it's great that we can come in and actually kind of investigate, figure out what is going on, and then give them peace and give them hope. So I can talk hours on just paranormal investigations I've done. So there's a whole nother thing that we can do on this podcast. But for right now, I think the initial one.
Hey, Halloween. Oh, perfect time.
Oh my God, yes, Halloween. Okay, we'll save the scary stories for the Halloween for October. That'll be great.
Heck yeah!
All right.
Oh, so excited.
I know. I'm so excited about this. Any last words? Anything else you want to say?
All week, and I know this sounds goofy, all week I keep seeing an apple, and I don't know what it means. And, like Freya loves to taunt me with her symbol, and, like, she's not, like, my guide, but she likes to pop in and give me some advice or something. But I really feel like the apple is important, so if somebody out there, or anybody listening, or you, Charlie, keep an eye out for an apple. I don't think, it's not a bad thing, I'm not getting a bad vibe from it, I just keep seeing a big red apple, and I don't know what it means.
Okay.
Just something I wanted to throw out there, it felt like the right place to throw it, because it's literally been repetitive in my head all week, okay. This apple.
All right, I'll keep my eyes open, and I'll let you know if anything shows up. But yeah, that'll be fun.
Fantastic.
All right, Jameson, well, I thank you so much. I think we did pretty good for our first ever show.
Yeah, and once we get it edited, we can review and move forward into the next.
Yeah, we'll get it up and, get the website going. There's just so much. I am so excited for this whole journey that we are on. I love it.
Definitely. And it's an absolute pleasure talking with you every time. And I still get blown away that sometimes you just find a soul brother out of the blue, out of nowhere.
Yeah, we didn't even get into that, our whole connection. But yeah, the first time that I even just started talking with you online and everything, it was like, I know this guy. I already know him. So that connection was there. We are connected on the spirit level in some way. It is so awesome. And now to be doing a podcast with you, it's fantastic. So I guess we're going to wrap it up for now. And
yeah,
we'll see. We're going to try and get these out every 2 weeks. That's our goal for right now. So
yeah,
we'll let you
fantastic.
Know.
And we'll see you another day, and we'll have more insight on our next journey.
All right. Sounds good. And have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.